In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How tenderly Christ invites us to believe in him when he says, "I am the life." Think of all the time and resources and money that we spend on preserving life, from growing crops to the whole medical field, from planning and saving for retirement so we have enough to live on in the future, to spending money on food and clothes and working hard so we may have money to spend. And even then, we don't just want food, we want the healthiest of foods, we want the safest of vehicles, we want the most harmless house products. We recognize how fragile our lives are and how quickly they can change in a moment's notice with one event. And yet today our Lord comes to us and says, "Why all the worry? Why so burdened with money and food and drink? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Life is more than food. Life is more than drink. Life is more than having clothes. Life is more than checking off your bucket list. Life is more even than breathing air. Life is Christ himself. He is the life. So to be alive is to eat the bread of life, that is, to believe in Jesus. Food spoils, but he who eats from the flesh of Christ will live forever. Water stagnates. But he who believes in Christ will have springs of living water welling up in him to eternal life. And so this is why Christ is born in Bethlehem. Yes, it is the town of David, but Bethlehem means house of bread. Because Christ has come to be your meat and your drink, so you may have life and have it to the full. This is the true bread that came down from heaven. This is the true manna that marvels and delights all those who are blessed to receive it. This is the true feast that God prepares on his holy mountain for his children to eat the flesh of Christ, to believe in him, is to receive the eternal God. Jesus is not a man that he would lie to us, nor a son of man that he would change his mind. He is I am, the one who spoke to Moses in the burning bush, the one who delivered Israel by the Passover lamb and drowned all of Israel's enemies in the Red Sea. In Jesus, there is life. He is the one who molded Adam out of clay and breathed into him life. He is the one who rescued Noah from the flood waters and then reinvigorated life into this world. He gave Israel life through the Red Sea. And then he even raised the widow's son at Nain, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. In his flesh dwells the fullness of the Godhead, and God is life, therefore the flesh of Christ is life-giving. So his touch gave life, his words gave life, his body gave life, his blood gave life, because he is God himself, but also because he is the one who has traversed death and has come out on the other side alive. So we are to seek the flesh of Christ, and we are to run where he is, where his body is found. Apart from the flesh of Christ, you cannot find life. So if Christ is stuck up in heaven and his body is only in heaven, then how can you have life? You are left only with the God who is a consuming fire. For it is by his blood that he has purchased you, paid for your sins, and redeemed you for God. It is by his body that he has entered the grave itself and yet has burst open death's grave, bringing life to all. Flee to the flesh and blood of God and you will receive the Savior God, the merciful God, the forgiving God, who is ready and willing to give health and life. It's not a command. It's a gracious invitation by God. Sin had separated you from God. Sin is separation from God. and it results in death. So just as life is far more than simply breathing air, so also death is far more than a failure to breathe air. Unbelief is death. Apart from Christ, no one can have life, for Christ is the only way, truth, and life. So all infants are born dead. The sin that the parents give to them give them only death and a grave. The same is true for all of us as well. But it is that blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin, as St. John later writes. And as St. John is caught up into heaven to see the vision of heaven, he inquires of those saints standing there. And one of the elders responds, "These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." His blood gives life. His blood saves. Because it is the very blood of God who was crucified and now lives for you. And so this is God's good and gracious will, that you believe in him. Yes, God desires you to live a good life. He desires that you love and serve others. But you cannot do those things if you first do not have faith. Listen to what Christ says about the will of God. "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day." God's will is that you live, not for a measly 80 years or so, but that you live in the resurrection of the dead. And to have life, you have to be united to Christ. So if you are to live past death, Christ must remain with you always. He cannot leave you or forsake you. He must raise you. He must remain with you even as your breath fails you. For he has promised that he will not lose any of those the Father has given him. He will not abandon you to the grave, nor will he let you see decay. But he remains true to his word when he said, "I am with you always, to the very end of the ages, and not even death can stand in his way." So it's impossible for death to hold on to you because Christ, the life of the world, remains with you. Believe in Christ and you have been saved from death, for he has already passed over from death to life. Now you see how much more precious Christ is, more so than silver and gold. Silver and gold is left here on this earth. Even family is left behind. But Christ remains with you always, through death, to raise you to eternal life. And so we come to the resurrection of the flesh. The Son of Man will speak to the dead just as he spoke to Lazarus, and all those who are in their graves will come out, some to eternal life, some to eternal death. The voice of Christ gives life. And you will be numbered among the living. As Christ physically rose, so your body will physically rise. Yes, the same body born from your mother. And the same eyes that are looking at me will see your Lord and Savior, not another's eyes, but those ones, for your whole body communes with Christ. And you celebrate and enjoy all of this by eating from the tree of life in the Holy Supper. The bread of life is that consecrated bread. His living body then penetrates your heart, dwells in your bones, and fills your lungs. His life-giving blood expunges all sin, vivifies your flesh, and courses through your veins. Every part of you is connected to God, to the flesh and blood God. And as he now is risen from the dead, so shall you must rise. So even if all deaths were combined into one, it still could do you no harm, for Christ is your resurrection and life. Even if hell itself directed all its fury at you, you still are safe because Christ has promised to raise you, and you have eaten his body and drank his blood. Even if you suffer the most unfortunate of deaths, his promise to remain with you still remains. And even if your own heart accuses you of sin and your conscience pricks you, believe in Christ, and he has promised he will forgive those who are in their hour of need. So in defiance of Satan, in defiance of sin, even as we stare at death itself, we eat and we drink the flesh and blood of our God. Because we trust that his promise is certain and sure. I will lose none of all the Father has given me, but I will raise them up on the last day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.